Amen. Man, well, welcome to Relentless Week 2 of Who Do You Think You Are? We opened this series, we opened the whole decade last week with this. And just so you know, I didn't get to this. If you run into somebody that wants to tell you that actually, technically, the decade starts in 21 because the decade runs from 21 to 30, right? If you know, don't trust those people, right? You can't trust people that think that way. You still love them. God loves them. You don't trust them because we know 2020 is the beginning of the 20s. It has begun. So we kicked that off last week, and it's so cool. You know, we got people in our church that would claim to be a kid of the 80s, right? You would call yourself that. We have people in our church that would claim to be, you know, a kid of the 90s. I was a 90s kid, right? They, you know, and then we had those weird, we don't know what to call the last two, right? But crazy to me to think that there's kids in this room right now, and there's kids across the hall. They're going to one day be an adult. They're going to say, yeah, I was a 20s kid, right? That's what we're raising up here in this. So this decade is, man, this is such a big decade for life and Jesus and Relentless. And we launched into all of that last week, and we're going to pick back up. I want you to help me out today to get where we're going as we talk about who do you think you are, how you view yourself, how you view God, all these things that we opened up last week. I want you to tell me out loud a place that you've been, the most awe-inspiring, breathtaking place that you've ever been that is man-made, right? Or not man-made, sorry. Not man-made place. So something in nature, something that man didn't build, but some location, or I won't give you any hints, but what is the most breathtaking, awe-inspiring, not man-made place that you've ever seen with your own eyes? Talk to me, church. All right, no, wait, I did that wrong, right? Because you start yelling at me, I get scared, right? I like it when you talk. I heard Niagara Falls, right? Now give me someone from over here. Yosemite. Did somebody say Virginia? I think somebody said Virginia. I mean, it's nice and all. All right, so Niagara Falls, Yosemite, let me get something from over here now. What beach? Grand Canyon, what beach? Any beach? Just a beach. All right, how about from the back? Switzerland. Wow. I hope you're tithing. I mean, I'm just saying. It's a joke. Switzerland. I think of money, right? So that's enough to do where we need. Switzerland, the beach. I'm sure we got some mountain people here too, right? That's like just sitting out there in the mountains, right? And then we got Yosemite and Niagara and Grand Canyon and a beach and Virginia, the entire state, right? It's for lovers, I hear. So we got all that. So here's the thing. If you're in that place, right? And some of you said your answer out loud. I didn't hear it. You're mad, right? Relax, all right? It's just for you and God. I don't need to hear it. Wherever you're, or maybe you didn't say your place, and you're, but whatever your happy place is, it's, get there right now. Like, get there in the chair with the sand and hear the waves, right? Or get there at the canyon or in the whole country of Switzerland, wherever. The most, like, wow. Remember we're still in the wow from our 2019 series. If you're in that place mentally, or if you're in that place actually, physically, right? And then, you know, something, you get an email, which, why are you checking email on the beach? But if you are, you receive annoying things differently, right? Because how bad can an email be when you're looking at that, right? Man of God, that's why I said not man-made. God did this. God, and for me it is, and it's not a specific. I was saying what beach? I shouldn't have said that because for me it's just the ocean. It can be any ocean, right? My wife and I celebrated a few years ago. We celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. We went to Grenada, right? Not Granada, but Grenada, and the clearest water. Like, I was like, this is not Earth. Like, this is extraterrestrial. This can't be like a real, it was just that, right? No words. And in that place, man, God did this, right? God, this is the God, man, and just life, like how bad can life be? So all of that, right? Last week we looked at this phrase, in view of God's mercy, right? When I'm at the beach, like everything's going to be okay. in view of God. What is that? In view. Everything is through the lens. I know some of you are walking through some grief and some heaviness and some hardship, and this week for some of you is like a lot of unknowns that you don't even like know what's going to happen. In that, in view, if you'll put the lenses on, if everything in life comes through the view of, man, God's love and mercy, he knew that I couldn't get to him, so he came to me. He sent his son to die for me. It's not just singing pretty songs about love. That love, those lyrics are founded in an actual event of Jesus showing up on earth and dying on a cross for you. So in view of God's mercy, we live life. Right? So the beginning of who do you think you are is like, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And last week we talked about in view of God's mercy. That's how we see ourselves. We are rescued and adopted. That's how we define the gospel, this incredible news that we've been rescued and adopted by God through Jesus. And as we're rescued and adopted, man, as we admit that we are what we call Triple H, we're hopeless, we're helpless, and we're headed to hell, right? On our own, and God knew that, and he wasn't okay with it, and he had a plan, and he came to us in view of God's mercy. Today, January 12th, 2020, we woke up, all of us, we woke up, whether you even know it or not, there's a God who loves you, and he proved it, and he calls you, and he wants to pour his mercy and his grace and his love on you. That's how we see the world. That's how we see what's going on in our lives. That's how we see today and the days to come. And it all leads us to this place of identity. And here's how we like to say it. Is who I am is completely wrapped up in whose I am. Right? So that adoption, like that's everything. That's my identity. I was rescued because I needed it, and I could not good my way back to God, and neither can you. He knew that I was alone. He knew that I was never going to figure out a way to be good enough, to be holy, right? He knew all that. He came to me in my worst. He rescued me, but he didn't stop there. He also adopted me. He said, I'm going to be your father. You're going to be part of my family, not stepson, like full-on son of the Heavenly Father. I've been adopted, and now who I am, like that's the story of my life. Who I am is defined by whose I am. Not how good church is going, not how much I read my Bible, right? Not my New Year's resolution, I'm trying to do this more or do this less. Like that doesn't define me. Who I am when I'm right and when I is completely wrapped up in whose I am. So that's where we kind of took off last week with Romans 12:1, and we're going to be spending the next several weeks on this verse that comes next. We hit on it last week. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are 5 years and a few months old. I've learned for me and for us as a church, we need to go slower. Right? So we told you on that if you came to the big Christmas service, hey, we're going to get to, like, how do you know what God wants for your life? What's the plan? Like, that's in this verse. We're just not there yet because we have to slow down and we have to take this. So last week we talked about don't conform. There's a pattern. There's a stream. There's a flow of life. There's a pattern to this world that you do not want to get into. It's not what you were created for. It's not who you are. So instead of being not, you know, instead of not conforming, we're changed. We're transformed. And we set that up last week, and today we talk about how, by the renewing of your mind. Last week I told an example that I won't get back into too much, but of my youngest son and just a basketball technical thing that I was on him, and man, I just, you know, what are you doing? And then once I realized he just didn't know, right? And then he didn't need to be told, he needed to be shown. Once he saw it, he understood it, he adjusted, and we got the results that we wanted to get. And it just is heartbreaking that I think there's a ton of people in our world, in the greater Raleigh area, perhaps even in this room, they're not bad people, they're not trying, they don't have a heart that doesn't want to change. They just don't know that the only way that you change is by the renewing of your mind. So we have to help you and help each other figure out what does that look like for you specifically, right? Because if you're dealing, and everybody's dealt with this, don't act like you haven't. If you're dealing with some of, like, man, I don't know, it's just not fresh. I don't know if I'm just feeling it, me and God, a little this. Like, it's never that way when you're changing. Man, when the God of the universe is changing my life and he's getting in there and stirring around, like, it's beautiful. It's challenging sometimes. It's never boring when the God of the universe is changing your life. So how do we change? We change by the renewing of our minds. And why do our minds even need to be renewed? Because they're messed up. Right? Our minds are messed up. The whole sinful nature of the whole, like it affects our brains. Like, I don't know if I'm the only one. But I still today, I've been following Jesus for 30 years. I still have some messed up thoughts. Like some stuff will come in my head that is unpreachable. I'm like, you know, I didn't like it. I'm not under the influence of anything. I'm fully sober, fully in my right mind. I'm not crazy despite what a few of you think, right? I'm fully, no, I can't blame it on anything. It's just like, we are messed up in our minds. They need to, here's how I'll explain it. On the screen is a gift that my oldest son, who was just drumming a second ago, he asked for this and he got this. It's called Rejuvenator, right? Isn't that a pretty good market? Like somebody, that's a good meeting when they came up on how to name this product. What it does is this special substance that you put in the water, you mix it together and you clean shoes. The whole idea is that shoes that don't look so new can become new again. So instead of Rejuvenator, right? You Rejuvenator, right? We rejuvenate. So my boy, he's been rejuvenating shoes all through our house, and shoes that were kind of for me, like a few years in, about ready to recycle through those. Like, hey, well, let's bring them back in the rotation, right? Because they've been rejuvenated. It's a beautiful thing. And some of you sneakerheads, you know, like you can try hard, and I check the weather. I wear shoes based on the weather because certain shoes on a day like this, I know the rain's over, but there's still going to be some puddles, some possibilities. I just can't risk it, right? So some shoes don't. So no matter what you do, though, if you wear shoes long enough, eventually they're not going to look new. Our minds need to be renewed. Now. Some might think, well, why didn't God, like we just had some beautiful baptisms a few weeks ago when we talk about new life and new creation. Why doesn't he give us a new mind? He gives us new life and new creation. So why doesn't he give us a new mind? Well, he does. Well, why doesn't he make it so that it's like a one surgery, right? He does the surgery, we get a new mind, and it never needs to be renewed again. Like for once and for all those crazy thoughts are gone and the temptation and life. Why doesn't he do that? Wouldn't that be a better plan? I don't know all that God knows, obviously, and why he does what he does, but I do know this. He's a God of transformation, not transaction. Right? Transaction, we can go to a restaurant, we can buy some food. We can, you know, in the old days, you'd go up to the counter. Remember those? And you pay for your meal afterwards, right? I like paying for it after. Right? Paying for it before, like it all motivation to give me good, whatever. Right? So that's a transaction. You're going to go somewhere maybe and eat, or maybe you go somewhere this week and you go to a counter, you go to a bank, and you don't need to know them. They don't need to know you. They may have a name tag. They don't know you. There's no relationship. You make a transaction. You give them something. They give you something. It's over. God could do that. Hey, you want to believe in me? Here, do this, say this. Now you're in. Boom. New mind, and you're good for life. You're never going to need anything else. The problem is, he's a God of relationship, not religion. Religion is all about transaction. Do this and you're good, right? We're not about religion. We're about relationship. We're not about transaction. We're about transformation. And God set it up in his brilliance. He set it up. If you don't come to me and let me help you renew your mind and your life, you're going to get off track. I want you to need me and depend on me. And not just that, I want to be in relationship with you. So why would I do a surgery that's impersonal and transactional and then just let you go do whatever? I want to be with you. He's a father. You guys that are parents in the room, you know how unexplainable that connection and love, and how awful it would be to be separated from your kids. He wants us just to be with him. And one of the best ways to do that is, man, I'm going to renew your mind. It's not going to be a once and for all shot. Like that's real, right? He comes into our life and new life is real. But the renewing of the mind is not something you do once and then you're done with. It's a process that comes through relationship. The other benefit of doing it that way is it's such a witness. It is such a testimony to people that you're going to see tomorrow, people that you're going to see today, people that you live with or live beside and work with. They don't need a preaching message. They want to see something that's real. And when lives are transformed, it actually, listen, it actually proves God. You can't argue that. Like, man, you were such a fill in the blank, right? This is who you were. Now you're different. Help me understand that. Right, like only God could pull off. We're not talking about altering slight, you know, habit stuff kind of change. We're talking about the Jesus, the Son of God, coming into lives and completely changing somebody. Right, some of you, I know you, and I get it because I'm with you. You struggle with impact. Like, I want to impact. I want to influence. I want to bring people to church. I want to share my faith. Listen, the best way to do that, it's through your own transformation. You got a story to tell somebody about, man, this is what, man, God has called me to make some changes in 2020, and it's not like he's mad at me. He's like, just a beautiful relationship and transformation through the renewing of my mind. I've really struggled with my marriage, and I'm praying and trusting that 2020 is going to be the best year of marriage in my life, and God's helping me know what that looks like for me as a husband or a wife or whatever, or my finances or with my kids or with my academics or with my whatever. When you have a testimony, God's changing me. People listen. Right? They don't want to be preached to, but they do want to hear that there's a God that's real, that loves them, that's changing your life. And if he's changing your life, whether they say it or not, they're going to sometime have the thought, man, if God can do that for them, who I like and who I trust, who I would call a friend, maybe there's some hope for me. This the whole generation, we love the next generation, you know, and empowering them now in our church, and they're seeking. They're looking for something that's real. And what we're saying to you, students, college students, high school students, middle school students, what we're saying to you is not, we believe this stuff, you should too. That's not our message. If you're like, man, I don't know about this. I'm doubting some of this. That's great. Good for you. Don't believe everything because some guy on the stage is saying it. There's a God who knows your name. He wants to change your life, and when you trust him with the renewing of your mind, you'll see change that you can't explain. It wasn't your mom or your aunt or your uncle or your dad or your pastor. It was the God of the universe stepping into your life. Now you got your own story, and nobody can argue. That's what we're about. That's what we're chasing. So the million-dollar question becomes, how do you renew your mind? Right? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Instead, let's be changed. And change is a beautiful, transformation is a beautiful thing. Right? It builds your faith. It brings you close to God. Be transformed. How? Well, the method that God gives for change is by this thing renewing, making new again, your mind. Man, our brains are powerful things. Right? I don't know if you saw this. This is like 5-6 years old now. But they tried to get a computer to mimic the power of the brain. On the screen is this computer. They named this computer. They called it K, right? You know your hot stuff computer when you get a name, right? So at the time, this was the fourth most powerful supercomputer in the world, right? Now, this will mean something to a few of you. It has 700,000 processor cores and 1.4 million gigabytes of RAM. Right, so if you know anything about RAM, 1.4 million GBs of RAM, right? And that's what the sucker looks like. Here's the quote. This is the most powerful one of the world's most powerful supercomputers. Still no match for the humble human brain. Taking 40 minutes to replicate a single second of brain activity. So they built this thing to replicate the brain's activity and all that a brain does. And they got this computer to replicate what a brain does for 1 second. It took this computer 40 minutes to do that 1 second of brain activity. Right? That's what's in your head. That's what's in your noggin. Isn't that crazy? Right now, you young people, you guys got to figure out this whole AI thing and what's going to happen. I'm old school with that. Like when I hear AI, I still think of Allen Iverson. That's all AI. That's AI to me. So I don't know, like, all you guys are going to have to figure that. Like, there's going to be issues you got to figure out. Some of you are going to be trying to date robots and fall in love with voicemail. And I got nothing for you on any of that. I don't know about that. We got some kids in this church that can build that kind of computer stuff, right? Some of them, I look for them. Some of them are running the computer in the elementary room, right? So I'm so excited about February 2nd, not just because it's Super Bowl Sunday and two services. It's that kid, that teenager I'm thinking of, who's running a computer right now for elementary, and then he'll go home, and he didn't hear any of the stuff I was saying to the next generation, right? Starting February 2nd, he can do that one service and then come in here and come to church the other service. So all this army of volunteers that have been giving, that now giving doesn't mean you don't get to come in here and worship and be together as a church and hear from God. So we can't wait for February 2nd. I'm thankful for Joy for so many things, but just her heart and announcing that meeting. If you're not serving, man, we need you. We always are looking for, like, churches, right? They're always looking for people to step up and serve. And it's nice when you're in an area of, like, man, if we get too many people, what are we going to do with them? We're not there. Anyway, right? Two services, it's like, man, we are so, there's a need, and it's beautiful. And January 27th is the time to come out and find out what's going on and how you can be a part. And that'll be 6:45 to 8:15. I don't know if we said the time. But our minds, right, back to our minds, they're not just a computer program, though. Right, next week we're going to look at this verse from Ephesians, and it talks about renew the attitude, or some version, the spirit of the mind. Right, so they're not just computer programs that are like a program doesn't get options. Right, a computer program just does what a human tells it to do. Like, our brains are different. There's an aliveness. There's a choice. There's options. There's the scripture speaks of renewing the spirit or the attitude of the mind. So our minds actually have what we would call a mindset or a viewpoint. And the whole key to mind renewal is syncing up your mind with Jesus. Right? And some of you are like, I'm not thinking, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor, but I'm not thinking horrible thoughts. Right? I'm not doing horrible things, because, you know, we've learned that messed up stuff starts in your head, right? Before you do anything stupid, you thought something stupid. Right? So it all starts in the head, and you might be like, man, my mind is good. Like, why do I need to sync it up with Jesus? It's not that you're going to be horrible if you don't listen to this. It's just that you're not going to be transformed. Right? You can change on your own, but it's not going to be supernatural transformation. And man, that's where life's at. If you've never experienced supernatural, this is bigger than me. I don't know what's going on in me, but it's not from me, but it's good. Like, that's what you want. That's what it's about. You can't do that without Jesus renewing your mind. It's the only path. And the question of the series, you can't really fully ever know who you are if you're not syncing your mind with the one who made you. Like, he's got all the knowledge about you. He doesn't just know your name. He knows what you were made for. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what you struggle with. He knows all there is to know. And don't feel bad, like, man, my mind's messed up. Yeah, all of our minds are messed up. You're in good company, right? Peter was like one of Jesus' three main guys. He had 12 guys, and he had an inner circle of three. These are James, John, Peter. They were the ones he was training to start this thing we're continuing today, the Church of Jesus Christ. Like, Peter, you've heard of Peter. People named their kid. 2,000 years later, we're not even Jewish, most of us, and we still name kids Peter because of this dude, right? But his mind wasn't right. Check this out. Mark 8. Jesus began to teach them as his disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. All right, this is Jesus just being real with his guys. He hasn't done a lot of this, and he sits them down and says, here's what's going to go down. And these guys were kind of the enemies, because it was the religion faction and it was Jesus being different. And Peter had risked a lot with others to, like, man, we're with Jesus. We think he's actually the Messiah, the Son of God. We think he is God, not just like a normal dude like us. We think he is God in a human body. They were all in on him. And then Jesus says, listen, guys, I'm going to get killed by the religion. They're going to kill me. Now, I don't know what happened in their brains. They didn't. The part about rising from the dead, they didn't care about that, because it was like, no. Here's how Peter responded. He said, Jesus said this plainly, and Peter took him, Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him. What? Peter's like, all right, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you're God, you're not like us, and you know all, and you've done some stuff. Like, the blind girl that can see now, I don't know how you pulled that off. The bread, there wasn't enough, and then there was leftovers. Who doesn't love that? Like, we're all in on you, Jesus, but you know what? Everybody has a bad day. Even the Son of God. I don't know if you didn't get your coffee. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But maybe you misspoke. Let me give you the bit. But somehow it came out that these people that we're about to dominate, these people that have been oppressing us, these people that have been faking it and saying they represent God and this religion, and you've taught us it's not of you and we believe you. You just said that they were going to kill you. You can't possibly be right. So I'm going to, in love, Lord, in love, I'm going to rebuke you. Now, before we get too mad at Peter, like, how could you, like, I know I'm not rebuking Jesus, right? At least Peter just, he had this problem that some of us have. He just said what he thought. So a lot of us would never say that, but are you telling me you've never had the opinion that you maybe have a little better idea of what to do with your life than God does? Don't get mad at Peter because he verbalized what we would never say. Like, if you're in that small group, you're like, oh, Peter, you just rebuked Jesus. Right? But all he was saying is, that from what I know, that can't be right. Here's how Jesus responded. Verse 33, turning and seeing his disciples. Jesus knew this was just bigger than just Peter. He rebuked Peter. And he said, get behind me, Satan. Right? Jesus calling you Satan isn't a good day, right? What's the problem? Why is this such a big deal? For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Peter, I from where you sit, and you are good intentioned. Peter is good intentioned here. He's not being selfish. He's not saying, I'm the man. No, he's not trying to take over. He is fully loving Jesus. Listen, Jesus, we're all in on you. You're the Son of God. And there's one thing I know about the Son of God. He doesn't get killed. And Jesus says, Peter, here's your problem. You're thinking with your own mind. It can be well-intentioned. I can be, listen, we sing about who we are. I'm a child of, you can be a child of God and still not be thinking with the mind of God. Right, there are children of God all over, everywhere, that are making decisions in their own flesh, in their own wisdom. And Jesus is saying, you get a choice here. The key word there, you're setting. This is our part in the mind renewal process. You get to set your mindset. You get to set your viewpoint on either the things of God or the things of man. And sometimes the things of man sound really good. They're not evil, awful things. They're just not in sync with the mind and the viewpoint of God. So we make decisions. You make a decision to put your mind on God. I'm in a video chat. It's an app called Marco Polo. I say that because Kim Branch, she gets a dollar every time we say Marco Polo from stage. But it's an app where we chat, and I'm in several of those. So I'm in a group of guys that are pastors and dear friends of mine for a long time. We're also all fathers, and we also all have kids that play ball. Right, so this week, I'm working through this message, and on the Marco Polo, dude does a post, and he's like, man, you guys got to help me, because I hate this about me, but when I'm in the gym, the thoughts that I have about other players and comparing and pride as a dad and just wanting other players to fail, he's like, it's awful. He's like, I don't want it. I don't like it. It's not me. It's not who God wants me to be. This dude's a pastor. Like, we're real dudes. He's like, so how do I get rid of this? Right, and when a pastor ask other pastors for help, right? You have this, like, you need to come up with something brilliant, right? Like, oh, you know, let me go to Ecclesiastes 4:11 says, right? But we had a great discussion, and it just comes down to, man, renewing your mind, that Jesus is real, and change comes through the renewal of the mind. So we need to do this and start our day with this. And for a lot of us in the gym, moms and dads or whatever, or going to, maybe for you it's work or a meeting, we need to maybe spend an extra minute or five in the car before we get out and go into the gym and just have a conversation of, listen, I need your eyes. I need to think and see players like you see them. I need you. Can you renew my mind right now? Jesus will go into the gym with you, right? He's not out in the car like coming like, hey, how'd it go? You know, no, he wants to go into the What, now that gym may not be your thing, but you got something. Like, where do you need to go that maybe, not even maybe, I believe it, I need you to believe it. Crazy transformational change, not overnight, but over time, because all you're doing is practicing, like, God, I want to set my things on the things of you, not the things of me, and I need your help to do that. We call it prayer, but I don't want you to think of it as prayer. It's a relationship and a conversation. And it's taking the particulars of your life, and I don't know what's going on in your life, and just asking, God, would you renew my mind specifically about this relationship or this issue or this struggle or this victory. You know, sometimes we need God to renew our mind when things are going really well. Like, help me remember, this ain't me. This is you. It's just living it out. It's daily. It's sometimes hourly. Here's a way to pray it, but I'm hesitant to do this because I don't want you to, like, go home and start just repeating a prayer you're not thinking through, right? So you gotta think this as you pray. But here's a way, not the way, but a way that you could pray this. It's on the screen. Just help me see and help me think what you want me to see, what you want me to think, right? Help me see what you want me to see. Help me think what you want specifically about, right? And I was going to do, like, some really cool acronyms, but the order matters here, so there's no cool acronym. God first. Help me see you, Lord, like I'm supposed to see you. Help my mind that's built so powerful can do all this stuff, but help me start with, how do I view you and how do I think of you? When you think of God, if you still think of a angry parent, right, that's going to mess up everything else. About you got to know who God really is. Help me think. And that's not something you do today and you're good till next year. This is a daily God, me. Hey, God, help me remember you're not grading me based on how well I obey you today. You're grading me on the perfection of Jesus, and you're calling me into a relationship with you. And when I'm in relationship with you, you'll get me and transform me the way you want to do. Help me think and see you, and then help me see myself. Help me think about me the way you want me to think about me. Help me see what you see when I look in the mirror. That's huge. We talked about that last week. And then the hard part. Help me see her. Help me see him. Help me think about that person the way you want me to think about them. Right? The hard people in your life, the awesome people in your life, and everybody in between. Now, these aren't magic words, right? This isn't Harry Potter, you know, help me think, you know, extra punis, heponumus, you know, whatever they say in the movies, right? This is you just having, in your own way, in your own words, slowing down, stop. Give yourself, this is where it goes back to that series we did about Cool It Now. You can, God's good, he fills in the gaps, but it's not going to be the real transformation if you're like, you know, so busy that you're like, you know, I'm on a phone call and I'm typing an email and in my right side of my brain, I'm kind of like throwing up a, help me think how you want me to think. Like, you got to slow down, carve some time and say, help me. Well, that's so simple. Yeah. But don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You set your mind, you pray for your mind, for God to get involved in your mind. A lot of us, let's be honest, it's not because you're bad, maybe just you didn't know. A lot of us in this room, like, this is a pretty awesome room. A lot of us in this room have never asked God to help us with our mindset. No, you didn't know. Have you never prayed about your mindset? Man, transformation is going to be frustrating because it's either going to be on your strength or it's going to be non-existent or it's going to be short-lived. It's going to be one of those resolutions we talked about that are good for 6 weeks and then they disappear. Now, what if we all start praying it this way? Change me by changing my mind for your glory. Change me. Not because I'm a bad, you know, no, but it, no, I'm excited because nobody wants to be stale and stuck. We all want to grow and change. Change is beautiful. Transformation, we love that word. Change me. How are you going to do that, Lord? You're going to start by changing my mind. Not so I'm on a pedestal, but for your glory. Change me by changing my mind. He wants to change your mind about something. There is nobody in this room that God is not so excited to change your mind about something you think and see. And don't be weird about it. When we go to the eye doctor, like I've never gotten mad at the eye doctor when he's showing me the letters. He's like, one or two, which is so stressful, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to get this wrong, right? But when they're fuzzy, right? And then he does something and then you can see the letters. Thank you, doc. Give me that. I wear contacts. They're strong. I'm blind without them. Thank you. I want that change because I want to see. Don't you want that from the God of the universe? The path is renewal of your mind. So don't be weird about change. I don't know. Everybody in this room, God wants to change how you think about something. Most likely in those about who God is, about who you are according to God, and about how you see others. It's not going to happen in a real, powerful, supernatural, lasting way without renewal of the mind. What if we all step into that? What if we all start praying that and meaning it in your own way, in your own time? Change me by changing my mind for your glory. You know, our statement as a church is we are becoming a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. The reason we use that word becoming is because we're not there. And there won't be a Sunday where you come in and like, hey, becoming. We're there. We're centered on the, like we're always in process in this life, right? We don't need mind renewal in heaven, right? We get a new body and a new mind that doesn't have to deal with what we deal with here. But on that, we're always becoming and we embrace that. Gospel-centered. Man, we can't stay centered on the gospel in view of God's mercy, of who he says I am and what he did for me and how much he loves me, that Jesus really came, bled real blood, died a real death because he loves you that much, defeated death, like centered on the rescue and adoption through Jesus. We can't stay focused on that in our own strength. And you got to put your mind on that. Your day changes when you start mentally with the gospel, with what Jesus did for you. Forever focused, that's all mind stuff. It is the reality that this life is super short. I don't care how healthy or young you are. We will not be here long. Forever is a really long time. And we want to live like it by thinking and having the viewpoint and the mindset of forever is closer than it's ever been. And our multi-ethnic movement, oh my goodness. Like unlike maybe some other churches that you've been a part of, if we don't focus on mind renewal, we will hurt ourselves and each other in a multi-ethnic church. So you'll start speaking, and you'll have good intentions. You'll start speaking out of your own wisdom. And in a multi-ethnic church, you'll hurt somebody. What we learned in our multi-ethnic series and small group and had conversations that have never happened in a lot of our lives, conversations about Jesus and race that have never happened, and it was beautiful and it was challenging. And we learned some perspectives, right? And maybe you didn't agree, and that's okay, but you at least heard a perspective that was different. Well, when you go to God for mind renewal, you can always count on his perspective. He's never had a wrong perspective because he sees what you don't. So it was his idea. This wasn't my idea. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if we were, you know, diverse? No, this is way bigger and better and longer than that. This was God's idea for his church to be multi-ethnic. We don't have a chance at that if we don't understand how to renew our minds. We're trying to change the world. Like, I'm not scared. We're trying to change the world. How are we changing the world? It starts by changing us. We're becoming. Help me see. Help me think. Change me by changing my mind for your glory. I want to pray that over you. There's a whole other big, huge part of renewing your mind that is next week. So for today, figure out how to take this prayer into your life. And watch out for what God's going to do in it. Would you stand and let me pray over you as we go? Father, I love this truth. Thank you for giving us scripture, for not leaving us hanging and just trying to figure it out on our own. Thank you for living in the Word. And God, thank you for change and how beautiful it is. Thank you how fun it is when we can see stuff that we didn't see before. God, help us see you as the perfect, ultimate physician and doctor of our heart. Help us know who we are, not just who we think we are, but help us in this series really know who we are in view of your mercy, that you've called everybody in this room to be a child of yours, that repentance is merely changing our mind about life and who you are. And I just pray over our blessed church and anyone who might be listening online, God, I pray that there would be prayers prayed today and this week that begin a process of mind renewal that will change marriages and careers and finances and family trees and legacies and addictions and on and on and on. They will change hearts by changing minds, that we will think differently, not because we're trying harder, but because you're so good and you're so ready to jump into this. If we will ask you, Father, help me see and help me think the way you want me to see and think. And God, help us believe, not just for us, but we're going to get so encouraged by other people in this room living this out. Help us be excited, not just for us, but for our neighbor. Help us truly be ready to get out of here and go do this, because we believe as we ask you to change us by changing our minds, you're going to receive glory and transformation that is unexplainable in our natural will be obvious and clear because of you. We go and we celebrate in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week, church.